This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection over at 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Go to stcarb.com for all your carburetor and fuel injection needs. Also, Black Forest Motorsports. If you have a Porsche, BMW, or Mini, 40 years experience working on those cars. Everything from daily drivers to full-blown winning race cars. That's right. The Black Forest team, they know how to give you the quality service and put you on the podium. Doesn't make any difference. All right. Hey, we got Brittany Sandoval back on the line, dwarf car driver number 37. And this is a second installment of our good buddy, Devin Morgan. Who you got today, Brittany, for folks that maybe didn't listen in last week?
Well, we were able to pick Devin's brain last week about iRacing, and because he caught my eye. And I think this week we're going to hear about his time on asphalt and dirt, because he's got a lot of experience there as well.
All right, Devin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good right now.
No, you're not. You're not driving. You're freaking out, stressing out.
Well, I'd have to argue with you. I didn't realize this league race I'm running would happen right on top of it, but it is. The Hunt in the Front league race. I'm currently running P3. I'm driving one handed, talking to y'all.
Oh, listen to this guy. Boy, I tell you. So you have had both dirt and asphalt experience. What are your favorite? What do you like to do the most?
Oh, I definitely like the dirt side a whole lot better. I feel like it takes more driver rather than the asphalt. I feel like the asphalt's just more like a car setup.
Yeah.
I like it. I didn't have to say it.
Well, now Brittany, you only driven on dirt, right?
Right, but in the dirt world, we say that track is so unpredictable. It changes throughout a race. So, I mean, that's just us talking because we want to defend our side. But it's nice to hear somebody else who has experience in three worlds, iRacing, dirt, and asphalt.
Yeah, and he chose dirt.
Dirt. Yeah, boy.
Well, I think dirt, you look at any of the, and you correct me, Devin, if I'm wrong, but anybody that's ever made it to the top levels of motorsports started in dirt or had something to do with dirt before they got to where they're at today.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to agree with you 100%. I think dirt's a great tool. The throttle control and everything, it teaches you a whole lot. I mean, you look at Jimmy Johnson, and he ran the off-road truck.
Yeah.
And I believe he did dirt bikes, if I'm correct. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Dropping our local boy like that. Good job.
But he's absolutely right. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny when you, if they would have put as much money into dirt racing as they do into asphalt racing, you would see a role reversal. I really think so, because it takes more talent to drive a dirt car than it does to drive an asphalt car. Do you agree with that, Devin?
Oh, I agree 110%.
Hey, but I hate to bring this topic up, but are the crashes harder on asphalt?
I would say so.
Yeah, goodness.
Well, there you go. So... yeah, but then again, you know, I think it just really depends, you know. But I think dirt probably gives you that false sense of security, you know, because you're sliding.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of it. Oh, shoot. I didn't get out of it.
Yeah. Now, Devin, you were in carts as well, so you've been in a cage, not in such a cage. How was that?
You know, it's, I'd say, I don't really know how to explain it. You know, I still, the car stuff is a little bit more scary to me because you're going faster, at least in the go-kart stuff. When you don't have a cage or seatbelts, if you go to flipping, you're not a, you know, you're not along for the ride. You get thrown out and the cart just flips. So, you know, it's completely different. I prefer the cage, though, most because I haven't had any bad wrecks on the go-kart yet.
I don't wish that on you.
It gives you that sense of security.
Yeah. And he's 18, Dave.
I know. It's Devin, amazing.
I didn't start racing until my my 40s. And so they say with age comes a cage. And I wouldn't even want to be in any sort of four-wheeled vehicle without it, without that cage. But he's already appreciating the cage at his young age.
Well, you know, it's if you want to keep doing what you're doing, you know, you have to put a lot of emphasis into the safety so that you can end up at the other end of the career in one piece. You know, my idol was never one for safety, Dale Earnhardt Sr. He could care less about it. Last one to go full face. Drove in that silly banjo seat that was basically not even secured the way it's supposed to. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. But, you know.
So when the track opens, Devin, you're committed to dirt, right? Was it street stock? What are you committed to once those tracks open?
Yeah, I'm definitely committed to my dirt car. It's a Monte Carlo, so it's like a street stock. We run a 602 Chevy Crate engine with a Signal 3-speed, so pretty basic.
Yeah, but it's dependability too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, you crash it, you bend it, you just put it on a frame pull machine and pull it back out, run it some more.
Yeah, put a little extra weld there just to kind of make sure it doesn't bend in that same spot twice.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to do that little reinforcement. Well, let's see now. Where are you located?
I'm in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, we've got a guy that races up at Paris Auto Speedway. I think he's 81.
Nice.
And he does figure eights, and his car, it looks like a tank. He's got so much reinforcement, so many bars that you can't even tell it used to be a Chevy Nova. But that rascal at his age still wins, if that gives you any light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, you know, that definitely gives a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. It's something I want to be doing for my entire life. So I just got to keep pushing towards that, keep grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You plan on making a career out of it?
Oh, definitely. I definitely plan on making a career out of it, even if it's, you know, every local Saturday night at my local dirt track. You know, I just want to do what I can afford and make the most of it, even if I'm just a local hero.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Go Monday, go find yourself some sponsors, and we'll put them on radio for you. Because, I mean, I don't know how many other radio stations support what you guys do back in your hometown, but you have no problem doing that at this end. All you have to do is give them the phone number, and we'll give them some serious airtime.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about, huh, Brittany?
Yep. He's good about supporting us.
Yeah. And have you gotten your Antonelli sponsorship yet?
No.
Oh, my
God. And I know they would put, like, bacon on a sandwich.
I know. Hey, how'd you like that Corona bacon mask I sent you?
I've had, like, three people. I'm so glad everyone thinks of me when they see the bacon mask.
Are you aware of what we're talking about, Devin?
No, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Well, go ahead, Brittany, explain it.
All the masks. Well, I don't know. Is everybody running around with masks on where you are, Devin?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yes. Well, there's someone online where it's a mask made out of bacon. And I'm kind of known for traveling when I go around the tracks for bringing a lot of bacon. I'm fueled by bacon.
Bacon so sandwiches.
Yeah. Yes. So I've had quite a few people send the pictures of the bacon mask to me, or it has reminded them of me.
See, you need to get Smithfield on the side of your car.
That's what I need.
That's what you need.
What do you have, Devin? What's on the side of your car?
I got Short and Short Express, Rod Gentry and Sherry. They helped me a whole lot. And then on the other side, I got Superior Hauling and Grading. Jeremy Peterson, I work for him over summer, and I drive another car for him. He helps me out a whole lot on our own personal car. I got Francis Marion Tire and Brake. He helps out a whole lot on the car. And then I got Innovative Design. He does a whole lot for us. I interned over last spring break. I interned over there, learned a whole lot. And so they got a lot of support behind me. I just got to thank all of them so much for everything that they do.
Yeah, you represent them well, too.
There you go. Hey, buddy, good talking to you. We'll get this interview back out to you. You can put it on your website, tell all your friends, and I'd send it to all your sponsors and just tell them that you're on Racer Radio, and we enjoy having you on, and I'm sure we'll get you back once the season fires up.
Yes, sir. I'd love to be back on the show anytime.
All right. We're going to, Brittany, get his address, and we'll send him some Racer Radio stickers to put on his car.
Sounds good. Pleasure talking to you, Devin and Dave.
All right, Devin. Thank you very much. Brittany, go make a bacon sandwich.
Thanks. Bacon.
Bacon, bacon, bacon.
Thank you.
All right, folks, AM 1170, FM 96.1. This is Racer Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go on. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170. The answers. Hey, I want to throw out a shout out to Double D and Lady K. They're listening someplace out there in La La Land. I can't tell you what they're doing, but they're having fun. Absolutely. All right. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line. Why? Because El Cajon Ford absolutely takes better care of you than anybody else. El Cajon Ford, family owned and operated. Did you know that over 80% of their used cars are trade-ins from customers? That's right. Trade-ins. That's great. They don't go to the auction. They send to the auction. And they support Barona like nobody's business. Paul Dyke has got his race car all waxed and washed and full of fuel. And he is just gnawing at the fenders to try to get out to that track. So we got Dirt Dude on the line. Hey, buddy, nice job on your toolbox drawer. Woo.
I told you, when you have nothing to do, you make stuff look nice. And that looked nice, huh?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, I don't even know if I would even want to take one out and use it.
Yeah, but if you take one out, you know right where it goes, because there's going to be an opening right there where they all are. That was just a socket. All my drawers look like that. But, you know, when you do a lot of mechanical work, you want to make sure you have everything in line. And, you know, I always check before I put anything back. Before a car leaves my house, I check to make sure not lost a socket or anything like that.
The infamous 10-millimeter.
Yeah, there's a whole stack of them you need to keep there, you know, like the throwaways.
What is up with 10-millimeter sockets and wrenches? They all disappear. I don't get it.
It's like the most popular one, like 9/16 and
10-millimeter.
Like your most popular, everything's going to be 10-millimeter.
Yeah, and you can't find it to save your life. You can buy 50 of them, but when you need it, you can never find it. I'm just impressed you got that whole drawer to fit.
Metric and standard, that's only 3/8 though. The next drawer down is all my half inch.
But I'm still impressed that you got it all, covers every little nook and cranny. Awesome.
It took a while. Every time I get something new, it's like, well, how am I going to reorganize a drawer with, you know, all the long drive sockets and everything like that? Yeah, you got to kind of organize everything.
Gosh. I don't know, man. That's pretty crazy. But, so we're still sitting around, not doing anything. Everybody's working in the garages.
On hold. Yeah, I'm taking advantage of the nice weather we're having here. We had all that rain, and my house, everything around my house just went crazy. I got a ton of weeds, grass hasn't been trimmed in 2 weeks. So doing that today, waiting until Fast Track Enterprises sells our family. Oklahoma Ford can get us back out on the track. And, you know, we're just waiting to see when they loosen up the restriction orders and we're going to be ready to go.
Yeah. And I think people are going to just, they're going to be so pent up and they're going to want to get out so bad. All the racers and the fans that maybe didn't go on a regular basis. I was thinking about it just last night. I'm thinking, okay, I got to get the two schedules between Barona and Paris, and I'm going to be at every freaking race because I don't want to have to go through this again. This was crazy.
And if you want to venture out, there's going to be Cocopah Speedway and then Ventura. I mean, there's a bunch in this area that's going to be going. We're just waiting for no one can do anything until we get the go-ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And we understand it. You know, social distancing seems to have worked. You know, so, I mean, and everybody's got their masks. And really, you know, once you get into a race car, I mean, you're pretty socially distanced all the way to the wall.
Yeah, I mean, that's on the track, but now the whole thing is about your fans, your crowd, you know, all the volunteers that we have, you know, they're going to be, you know, we're having them in groups, you know, as far as, you know, working on the track and everything.
Yeah, I bet if you put masks on them and I think they would, to know they could race, they would figure it out. I think the fans would figure it out. They would sit distance in the grandstands or on the side of the hills. I mean, you've got one of the best spectator capable tracks out there, really, when you come right down to it, without sitting on top of one another.
There's a lot of good viewing from your car. You can still sit in your car. But I was bummed about, you know, we weren't going to be able to have a season yet or anything like that. But then when you start looking at the major stuff, like they postponed the Del Mar Fair, they're postponing Comic-Con. That's like big major events that bring a lot of money into the city of San Diego. When they're postponing them, you know it's serious. And we're not going to be able to be like, oh, yeah, we could sneak in a race. It's one of those things that we got to wait.
Right. Yeah, there's no sense fighting it. I mean, I know there's a lot of people boycotting and doing things like that. And all that's going to do is just make it worse because the fear is the spike. And that's the last thing you want. Right now, in Alpine, we've got two cases. And if we can keep it that way, I mean, yeah, we're totally shut down. But, you know, we're doing really well as far as, you know, you going into the businesses that you can't even go in. They come out to you, get what you want, and yada, yada, yada. But
at least everyone's still kind of staying open and still chugging along. We're just kind of waiting for, you know, until we can actually start going back into normal business again.
Right. You know, and when some people are not affected and some people are, did you get your stimulus check yet?
No, not yet. I don't think because, you know, I'm still working, so I haven't had to do any employment or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of considered an essential, which I don't know why. But, hey.
We think you're essential.
I always think I'm the greatest, but, hey, you know, when the government thinks I'm essential, then okay.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of me, too. You know, I don't really, you know, there's people out there that need it a lot more than I do, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know that the essentials are really the doctors and nurses and all of our first responders. Everyone that's really on the front lines of battling it actually is face-to-face with someone with the coronavirus.
Exactly.
Really the hero.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, and hats off to my daughter is a nurse, and she called me up. She goes, yeah, Dad, I volunteered to go to the hospital. I'm going to be a corona nurse. I said, you're going to be a what? A corona nurse? Yeah. All right. So, but that's just the way she is. You know,
So like I said, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, you know, when we're ready, we're going to be ready. We'll let everyone know as soon as we can get close. We'll start getting the track ready, do a little prep to it, go back and see how bad it is after all the rain we've had, and hopefully get a little bit of dry spell now and start drying it out, and then do some prep work and be going.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to take much of anything. Well, I did talk to Troy. That last rainstorm pretty much did a toll on the pit lanes and the roads and everything. He's going to have to go out and regrade all that, but that shouldn't be too much.
Yeah, I'm thinking a couple of days, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 days with a blade before, you know, you get to go racing. He'll go through and prep the whole pits, track entrance, the road around the track, all the grandstand areas, you know, just make sure, you know, everywhere that got washed out is taken care of, fenced it all good, and weed drill mowed down, and it should be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's you know, it's just like I said, just a matter of time. But you know, it's, and I guess the county has to make that call for us, huh? Out the track.
Actually, I really had to see what the area would be, because closest would be Ramona, because we're on Sovereign Nation, so that's pretty much federal.
Oh yeah, have they said anything, or are they leaving it up to the track?
They're leaving it up to the track, and then actually to the tribal council is probably going to be the ones that really decide when, and then we can decide from what they say.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, and they haven't said anything yet.
No, everyone's still on hold. So about time the casinos open back up, I know we'll be going then.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds cool. So now it's just a matter of just waiting it out. How about advertising spaces left on the fence? How are we doing with that?
I'm sure we got a lot of sponsors coming back, and I'm sure we're looking for more. If anyone has a family or a business or a family member, you know, they want to get a name out there for someone's company or something like that, sure. We're more than willing to put their name anywhere on the track, on the water truck, on the equipment, billboards. You know, there's everywhere we can actually put a sign hosting someone's family or business or something, whatever you want to promote, we can actually do anywhere. To get them going.
Well, I just had a lady on on my first hour. She works at Superior Pools, lives in Descanso. She's got two little boys. And I says, you know where you need to take those two boys? And she goes, where? Barona. Really? I says, I can hook you up, kid. So once the track opens, you're going to have two new kids coming out in the kid division.
Well, hopefully a lot of people will be coming out and be a lot of new spectators and a lot of the old ones coming back. And everyone, like I said, I've been watching a lot of our drivers getting ready. You know, there's a lot that are getting ready, or some are not getting ready, and then they're like, you're going to wait till closer towards the season. No.
Yeah.
Nick Novak's got a couple cars he's working on. David Hunt, he's got a couple cars he's working on. And everyone from the street stock division, Paul Dyke's going to have a bunch of new guys out there he's going to be racing with when he gets out there with his street stock. Should be pretty fun.
Yeah. No, it's just a matter of time. All right, folks. Hey, if you want to stay on top of what Barona is doing, it's simple. Go to baronaspeedway.com, baronaspeedway.com. Stop by El Cajon Ford and thank them for all their support for Barona Speedway. Couldn't do it without them. All right, buddy.
And, of course, we're on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Get to Facebook as well. And you get to the second drawer, will you?
I'm working on it, man. Have a good one.
All right, folks. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. The segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. That is one fast half-mile dirt oval, folks. If you've never been, once this pandemic is out of the way, you have got to go up and check out all the action at 18700 Lake Paris Road. Just go to parisautospeedway.com. You can get everything you need right off the website. We've got our very dear friend, Alicia Smith, on the line. How you doing, Alicia?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you could be doing better, huh?
Yeah, if we were able to race.
I know. And I understand you're graduating this year. That's kind of a bummer, huh? That you're not that you're going to graduate. It's just that you're not going to be able to do a big-time celebration.
Yeah, it's definitely been tough with the whole senior year, but it is what it is, but yeah. We're hoping to still get a graduation and stuff, but I never thought I'd end my senior year online with online classes.
Wow. I know. How do you like that?
I hate it, honestly.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I like to be face-to-face with people that are educating me, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the news of the day is you're moving to the modified class. Hooray, hooray.
Yes, I've done a few practices when we were able to before all this craziness, but I got some practices in, and I was hoping to start sooner, but I love the car and everything. It's definitely a big change and way more of a challenge, but I love it so far, and I can't wait to actually have my first race in it.
Yeah, because right now the only thing you've really done is just practice, right? Just been out there by yourself, or you haven't actually been in a race in a modified yet, right?
No, I haven't. I've only had I've done like three practices. I've been to Paris twice and Ventura once, but it was all just me by myself on the track, just learning the car and stuff. But I'm ready to race now.
Well, and it's good that you start off that way, because that's quite a handful that you're climbing into. I mean, these cars are very fast.
Oh yeah, definitely different than what I've raced before. So a lot faster, a lot more power, and different driving.
Yeah, it's totally, and you wouldn't think, you know, that it would be that much different, but it truly is. But it'll just keep a grin on your face like nobody's business. That's the fun part.
Yeah, definitely. I love it so far, and I'm ready to race. That's all. But yeah, I'm excited, and yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. No. Exactly. So now what you got to do, who you got for, you got any new sponsors on this new car, or are you taking the old sponsors and taking them with you?
I've got a couple new ones, but I've also I've kind of brought along my old ones too, if I could give them a shout out.
Sure.
Of course my mom and dad, cause they do everything for me, but Tom's Fabrication, Communication Innovation, SNS Racing, Inland Rigging, CMS Metal, Morton Construction, and Inlet Motorsports.
All right. Who are the new ones?
Inland Rigging helped me out a little bit at the end of the year, but they definitely brought on more this year. And SNS Racing is a big one this year. So those are the two main ones that came along with me this year.
All right. So what color did you paint the car?
Of course it's the same black, white, gray, and hot pink.
Well, you got to keep the look, right?
Of course. You'll probably never see me with a car without hot pink on it.
Well, I would think not. So did you spring for a new driving suit, or are you going to stay with old Miss Lucky?
Well, I got a driving suit like a year ago, so it's still pretty new. It was like a fitted, like, so everything is still like kind of new in a way, so I'm not in need for one yet.
Yeah. What about your helmet?
I actually just got a new helmet.
Did you have somebody customize it for you, or did you just take what's in the box?
No, I just got a new flat black helmet. I got stickers made for it, so it like says my last name down the side in hot pink, of course, but I'd like to get it like painted or something on the back.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? Just find yourself a local pinstriper, and they can do it. In fact, I wish you were in San Diego, because I've got this young lady that is unbelievable when it comes to pinstriping. She would knock it out of the park, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. So you're not doing any practice at all. Let me ask you, are you into iRacing? Have you tried that out yet?
I've done it at other people's houses and stuff. I've tried it out, but I myself don't have one.
Uh-huh.
But it looks awesome, and I'd love to eventually get one, but
yeah,
me and my dad have talked about it, but we haven't gotten one.
Right. Well, they're not the, you know, now that everybody's getting into iRacing, they've become expensive as can be. You know,
oh yeah, they are expensive. We've looked into them, and yeah, they definitely aren't cheap.
I mean, you can get the little steering wheel and the pedals, but you got to have, you know, you got to have the wheel with the belt, and I mean, you've got to have the whole system. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. But the few times I have tried it, it's crazy how realistic it is. Of course, nothing's like actually being in the car, but if there is, that's definitely the closest to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to carry the same number? Are you going to be able to use that in the modified series?
Yeah, I've always been 31, so I just added an A, so my number's 31A this year, because my dad's actually racing too, and he's 31, so he's 31T. We'll be racing together for the first time.
I wonder who's going to crew chief?
We don't know yet. We haven't fully thought that through.
And is it going to be a crew chief for one car, or is it going to be a crew chief for both cars? Oh, you got a lot.
Probably both.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, unfortunately, I think your dad's going to write a bigger check than you, so that might have something to do with it. What do you think?
A little bit.
Yeah, but you're a daddy's girl. Come on. He'll melt.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, and so how long has he been running the modifies?
Well, he used to run a modified a long time ago, and then he started he raced the super stock a little bit, and he was helping me out mostly, but this is actually his first year back in a modified. We both got newer cars, not brand new, but new to us, so we got those this year, so this was going to be like our first year back, and then all this happened.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, that's just crazy.
Well, yeah, very crazy.
Yeah, but you know, it too will pass. And it's not just happening to you, it's happening to everybody.
The whole world, pretty much.
So it's not like there's any, you know, unfair advantages or other than, you know, you probably sit in your race car a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, come on. So, okay, well, it sounds to me like, I mean, you're as bad as I am. I can't wait. But out of curiosity, let's go back to school for a minute. What do you plan to do after high school?
I'm not moving away or anything for high school, for college.
Right.
But after high school, I want to become a surgical tech, which is a local school. But I've kind of talked to my parents about it and stuff. And once all this blows over, I want to start when I can actually physically go to school.
Because
they're saying, like, you can do online and stuff. But I'd rather just wait and be able to go than do online.
Yeah, I absolutely don't blame you whatsoever. And the fact that it's local, that way it won't really, because if you were to go someplace out of state, you might as well hang your helmet up.
Yeah, that was kind of a little part of me not moving to is racing, but I knew I couldn't make a career out of racing. So, of course, I had to think ahead. And I've always wanted to be in the medical field and everything, and I've done a lot of, like, looking into it, and surgical tech has always been, like, what I want to do, so.
Yeah, and really, you talk to anybody in motorsports today, I don't care, pick a division, doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever, they all have a backup, or they should have a backup, and you have to have a backup to fall back on.
Yeah.
And you might become, you never know, you know, you get in the right seat, and you get in the right, get in front of the right sponsors or promoters, you might be surprised. I mean, you know, I've seen you drive, and I've talked to Scott, and, you know, trust me, you wouldn't be here if you didn't think you were in the top drawer of up-and-coming young racers. No, take it wholeheartedly. You worked hard to get where you're at. So, hey, I got to let you go. I got to interview with Bobby Rahal, if you know who he is, open wheel racer, and he's going to talk about Sterling Moss, who passed away, who was a F1 driver that's out of the chart. This guy could drive like nobody's business. So hey, give the family a big virtual hug from us, and we will talk to you down the road.
I will. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right, folks. That is Alicia Smith. She's going modified racing on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Normal car, race car, classic car, they do it all. That's Certified Car Clinic. Check them out at certifiedcarcare.net. That's certifiedcarcare.net. All right, I chased down Bobby Rahal, Indianapolis open wheel racer, plus all kinds of other racing. And he's got a great story on Sterling Moss. Take a listen.
Well, if you folks have ever been in the motorsport world, the name Sterling Moss is synonymous with probably one of the best drivers on the planet. Of course, he's Sir Sterling Moss. And Bobby Rahal is on the line right now. He wrote a really nice piece about Sterling, and I thought it'd be nice if we had him on the air. Bobby's with Road Racing Drivers Club, and you know, Bobby, it just had to be a very sad day.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, many people knew he was not doing well for a period of time. He'd gone to Singapore, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, and caught something down there, and you know, he never quite was able to get rid of it. And I think you know, he was obviously getting on in years as well, and you know, and Sterling was a I mean, he was an amazing guy, and he suffered so many incidents in his life, and not too long ago, he has an elevator in his home, and he had his back to the elevator and hit the button, and the door opened, and he just turned around and walked into the elevator. There's one problem. The elevator wasn't there, and fell two stories. This, you know, he's in his 80s. Fell two stories, broke his ankles, and luckily it wasn't any more than that, but still, you know. And so my wife and I, we went to see him in London. We went to see him maybe 2 months after this incident. And there he was, propped up in bed, his ankles and casts. And honest to God, you know, he said, well, I'll see you in 6 months at Goodwood. And we left, and we go, there's no way he's going to be up walking around 6 months. And I'll be damned, but there he was. You know, and he just had he was a tremendously strong guy. But this thing that he, this bug that he caught in Singapore really, really took effect on him in a negative way. And unfortunately, you know, that over time it just got worse and worse. But he was an amazing man, and I felt always so lucky to get to know him. We socialized with him later in my career, or later in my life, when I went to move to England for Jaguar Formula One. And you know, but growing up all through the 60s and 70s, I mean, everybody knew who Sterling Moss was. I mean, and the guy was really, in many respects, larger than life.
Yeah, without a shot. I mean, I grew up in the 60s as well, and you know, I canceled going to the prom because a race he was in was going to be on TV, and you know, we didn't have much TV. And I said, I can date a girl anytime. I sure as heck can't watch Sterling Moss, you know, drive. And yeah, and I know, and he was a definitely an idol of mine. And I was talking to Norm DeWitt. I don't know if you know Norm, but he, you know, I had him on last Sunday and kind of let him give a little, you know, talk about his experience with Norm, and I mean with Sterling. And you know, we discussed the fact that Sterling Moss and Jimmy Clark and all those guys, they didn't race for money. They raced for the desire to win. That is missing so badly today. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, you know as well as I do today, you can buy your way into a ride. I mean, you could do it back then too, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is today. And Sterling Moss and Fangio and all of the guys that really set the stage, I don't know if anybody's ever going to meet their standards as far as driving goes. I really don't.
I think what's missing today that existed, you know, not just back in the 50s and 60s, but even in the 70s and maybe even the 80s to a certain extent, was the fact that, especially in their time, in the 50s and 60s, there wasn't a lot of money in racing.
No.
And so the only way you could make money in racing was to race a lot. And that was certainly prevalent in the 60s as well. And you looked at guys like Dan Gurney, who won, you know, Indy cars, he won in Trans Am cars, he won in sports cars, he won in Trans Am, I mean, you name it. You know, he won races and participated in all those categories. You know, and the IndyCar guys were doing sprint car races, they were doing midget races, they were doing IndyCar races. I mean, that was the way you made your way. And today, in part, I think because of the demands of the sponsors, the series, the idea. Of course, the series now, they're running races weekend to weekend. Of course, NASCAR has been doing that for quite a long time, but even IndyCar has done it, although it's not as bad today as it was. But really the opportunities weren't there. And so today compared to back in those days. And so you don't go to a lot of races and get to see somebody who's an IndyCar driver, or get to see somebody who's a NASCAR driver, or, you know, doing something outside of their normal kind of routine. And but guys like Sterling Moss, I mean, they won in Formula One races, Grand Prix, they won in sports car races, you know, you name it, of local races, even all the way to the highest of international races. You know, they race everything and anything. And so, it's a shame that we don't see that anymore, because I think that's what made these guys so popular, and why they created such respect by the fans, because they really did it all. And that's not, you don't see that too much anymore.
No, you really don't. I mean, the passion, and granted, that's how they made their living. Like you said, if you only ran one race a week, you'd starve to death back in those days.
Yeah.
But today, with lawyers and contracts, and, you know, and oh my God, what was it? One of the Bush brothers got to drive an open wheel car, and so did Jimmy Johnson. You'd have thought they went to the moon and back. And granted, you know, back then, you know, the vehicles were not as sophisticated as they are today. I mean, we've got, as you very well know, there's so much computerization and different types of driving. Well, you didn't have that back in the day. You were lucky to get a roll bar and a seatbelt.
Well, and the races were so different in the sense that, you know, in Moss's era, in his time in the 50s, you were racing the Mille Miglia, which is a 1,000-mile road race on the roads of Italy, and very dangerous. Of course, he set the fastest race record ever there, and 2 years later, after he won, there was a horrendous accident that killed a number of spectators, and of course, the driver and co-driver in the Ferrari, and it got shut down. But most of the racing in the 50s was done on public roads. And so even that generated a lot of mystique, for that period of time, and how these drivers were really adored by their fans, because they were cheating death all the time, not just going out and having a race. And Moss was, he certainly paid the price a number of times, having major accidents and certainly broke bones and what have you a number of times, but obviously he survived, which in and of itself was a victory in those days. I mean, a lot of people were killed in the 50s and all around the world, you know, IndyCar racing, sprint car racing, midget,
sure,
Grand Prix, you name it. I mean, racing was just in a very, very dangerous sport at the time. And yet that's what kind of generated a lot of the interest in it. By spectators and the press and everything else. So, Sterling was a guy that, second four times in the world championship, one year he gave his car up, knowing full well that he was going to lose by doing so, but he did it because he believed he was a sportsman. He was trying to help his teammates. And so you don't see that kind of mentality. It's much more of a business mentality, whereas in those days, in the 50s and 60s, there was a lot more sport in the business than business in the sport.
Right. Yeah, I knew when it was all business was when Mark Martin got a sponsorship of Viagra. I said, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?"
Money's money, right?
Yeah, and I have a lanyard, and it's the Mark Martin Viagra lanyard. I use it whenever I record off, and I wear it around just to drive people crazy. But
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, a little bit of a brighter note. What did you think of Ford versus Ferrari as far as the movie goes? What do you think?
You know, I think one of the. I was skeptical. Okay. I was skeptical. A number of people, I was probably one of the last people to see the movie. I you know, most people went to see it straight away. I didn't. But I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought some parts were a little hokey, but I thought it was pretty well done. And of course I'm a huge fan of that era anyway. But I'll tell you also, I think it's Netflix. Adam Carolla, you know, the mm-hmm. comedian, what have you, has done a lot. He did kind of a documentary on the Ford Ferrari battle, and also another one on Shelby. And you can see these on Netflix, I believe it is. And I got to tell you, he did a great job, I thought, because it was just like the movie, but it was actually all factual, you know. And it was all nonfiction. There wasn't any fiction in it. And I would recommend to anybody to see those, because I thought he did a very, very good job with that. And there's another fabulous documentary out called Race for Immortality, I think it is, which is about the Ferrari team in the 1950s, and particularly about the fatalities that were taking place in the Targa and the Mille Miglia and other races. And that's a fantastic movie, fantastic documentary as well. So, you know, one good thing that's come out of all this quarantine is we've had time to sit around and watch all these great documentaries and dredging up, thank God for YouTube, because you can dredge up old TV programs of Riverside 1967 or whatever it is you want to see.
Sure. I interviewed one of the producers from Ford versus Ferrari, and I said, probably one of the easiest things to do is to replicate Willow Springs. He goes, mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have to do anything.
I was going to say, it doesn't look any different.
I know, it's crazy. Well, Bobby, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy rascal, and hopefully you and your family are nice and safe until this insane sanity goes away. I won't ask you about iRacing, but we'll do that at another time.
All right, sounds good.
All right, buddy, take care.
You'll find yourself, follow your heart, and nothing else. You can do this, babe, if you try. All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.